We're back here on Fantasy Baseball Today. Hope you had a great Labor Day weekend. You're all rested up. You're ready for September and the playoff chase. All right, I'm Adam Azer with Chris Towers and now Melchior. And good morning to you gentlemen.
Good morning, Adam.
What's up?
A lot's up.
A lot's up?
Yeah, because this is an extravaganza show where we're going to talk about who we've been adding and dropping. It's going to be like a Monday podcast, but it's also going to recap Monday's game. So a lot is up.
Yeah.
I hope you're ready for that.
Not ready.
No, definitely not ready.
I'm not emotionally prepared for this.
Well, can you take like 5 seconds or so and emotionally prepare it?
All right, I'm ready.
All right, good. All right, then here we go. First, I want to start with this email. You can email us at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com, fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. And you're going to use the at sign. You're not going to, you know, that little at a thing. You're not going to spell out the word at. The email
gets
bounced back.
There's got to be a name for that.
Yeah, what is it?
Yeah,
Shift 2 on the keyboard.
I don't know.
Email of the day is from Nick. Hello, Tinkers to Evers to Azer. Our fantasy league playoffs go right to the last week. Is that something you guys think we should change? Also, in picking up players off waivers, I'm starting to give priority to guys whose teams are in a playoff chase. I worry that teams out of it will have less reason to play starters and more reason to give extra rest to players. What do you think? Like, would Chris Sale get rested, for example, down the stretch?
I don't think Chris Sale would, but I think if you're looking at players that have had injury concerns, those are definitely Chris Sale, I guess, had, a foot thing earlier in the season, but I don't think he's at risk, especially because he's got, you know, a pretty decent Cy Young case. I think they'll let him go to the end of the season for that, but I definitely think you don't want to go to the last week of the season. If you can avoid that last week, I think that's always for the best. The season's already long
enough. I understand the case for it. I don't think I've ever been in a league where the playoffs don't go to the last week of the season. And, I mean, there have been some weird things. I lost a championship on a Nelson Figueroa, which I think was a spot start, one hitter. This was like, I don't know, 8 years ago. So weird stuff like that will happen, but I don't know. Like I said, I haven't been in a league that has skipped that week, and I don't recall there being major problems. I think there's risk the whole month of September.
Yeah, and that's why if you can cut out as much of September, I mean, the season's so long. If you start your playoffs in week 24 and you have a 3-week playoff, it's 27 weeks of your life devoted to fantasy baseball. That's a really long year.
I think there's only 26 weeks in the season, Chris.
Oh, you're right. I'm bad at math.
So
24, 25, 26.
No,
yeah.
Look, I actually just finished a league on Sunday. I was in the championship team that Jamie Eisenberg and I co-own, and we romped. That was the crazy league where you get to start an extra utility player if you have the higher seed. I would like to say that we would have won regardless of the extra utility player. It was great. And I'm thrilled to be done with it. I think, I'm just going to be honest. That maybe as the host of a fantasy baseball podcast, I shouldn't say this, but since I do a lot of fantasy football, like I'm ready for my fantasy baseball leagues to wrap up. I really am. Not to say that I'm not still into it and I'm not still working hard to give everybody the advice, because we absolutely are. I don't want to say, but I'm just being honest. I'm ready for them to be done.
You know, last week you said that you like fantasy baseball better than fantasy football.
And that's still true. There are certain things about each that I like better than the other, but that's still true. I'm ready for my head-to-head seasons to be done. Roto, you have to play to the end.
Well, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, that's, you're just basing it on a 162 game season, but
I am fantasy baseball greedy. You might be ready to wrap it up now, but you'll be sorry in January when there's no fantasy baseball.
No, dude, I'll be vacationing in January. Now, in terms of picking up players, do you worry about what team they're on and how much playing time they'll get?
I mean, to some extent, it's sort of like what Chris was saying before. Well, I think you were saying it too, that, you know, there's certain players, that are going to be riskier than others. And, you know, just as an example, like I just noticed this morning, Andres Blanco's actually, he's been good.
Yep.
And then I read that he's not going to start much anymore because they're going to audition Cody Ash at third base. So, you know, it's stuff like that. So yeah, you have to pay closer attention to what otherwise would seem like fairly insignificant news tidbits, but I don't know. I still think by and large the stud players that I'm using week in, week out, most of them are going to be fine.
Who have you guys been adding and dropping since we last spoke on Friday? And I wasn't even here. So since then, who have you guys been adding and dropping?
Well, not a lot of dropping, but not so much adding, because it seemed like I was making a lot of DL activations this week. Just a few examples, Randall Grichuk in a couple leagues, and I actually picked him up in yet another league.
Alex Gordon for me.
Yes, Alex Gordon, right. George Springer, Carlos Carrasco, getting him back into some rotations. So it was more kind of shedding, you know, what's now dead weight. So I dropped Erasmo Ramirez, I dropped Mitch Moreland, I dropped Josh Harrison. So yeah, busy with drops.
Chris,
added Tom Wilhelmsen, added Wade Davis, because I'm having some real starting pitcher issues with Corey Kluber's injury, Carlos Martinez being kind of crappy, and I'm not going to trust Ervin Santana in the playoffs. I don't care that he has 10 plus strikeouts and 2 straight starts.
Okay, well, that's a good one, because, you know, we will look at the most added and most dropless, but are you guys buying into Ervin Santana? Chris apparently isn't. How about you, Al?
Nope, I'm not either.
Okay.
I think he's fine.
Yeah.
I just don't, I would really rather not trust him during the playoffs.
I added Jed Jerko and Alexi Ramirez in some roto leagues with corner infield, middle infield spots. But Jerko is shortstop eligible, but also just hitting a little bit better now. And, and Pat Murphy, their manager, he said, you know, that we're starting to see it with him. You know, he's kind of coming into his own. And I don't know if that's true or not, or if it's just manager speak, but there's a chance that Jed Jerko finishes the year breaking out a little bit and goes into 2016 with some buzz. And now that he's shortstop eligible, I feel like Jerko's a good guy to own.
Yeah, and he's been hitting better for a while. I think he finished August really well. But I think it's even going back to the All-Star break. He's got a 767 OPS since the All-Star break with 10 home runs. So, you know, that's really solid.
Would you like to hear a slash line right now?
Sure.
This is a slash line that goes back to late June, like the 27th or so of June. 53 games. And here's your slash line. 316 batting average, 349 on base, 548 slugging percentage, 9 home runs, 12 doubles, 32 RBI in 53 games. Not bad, right?
Yeah, other than the walk rate.
Walk rate's bad.
Yeah.
Renato Dor?
CJ Crone.
Oh,
interesting.
More on him later in the worth an ad question mark section. A lot of guys who are available in a lot of leagues hitting pretty well right now. Should you be adding them? Drop Joe Ross. We can drop Joe Ross, right?
I mean, I've benched him. I haven't dropped him yet, just, you know, in the event that they give him another start, but.
Oh, you're going to start him? After what he did to us last week?
Look, I benched him. So I guess it would actually have to be more than one start. But I can't get behind dropping Joe Ross until I know he is done. For sure.
Right.
Well, he's already 28 innings over his previous career high as a professional. And they've discussed shutting him down.
Yeah, and I understand all that. And I think probably the chances are like better than 90% that they're shutting him down.
And he's pitched like garbage.
Well, all I'm saying is I had better guys to drop.
Okay.
Than Joe Ross.
That's fine, Al. I accept. How about some of the big news? Did you hear about this Matt Harvey innings limit thing?
No, what happened?
Yeah, that's weird.
Oh, wow, it's crazy. Basically, he and the Mets sat down, had a really nice casual conversation about how many more innings he would pitch this season, and everybody's on the same page.
Yeah, why didn't anybody mention that?
Yeah, it does.
Like, I've been on Twitter all weekend and nobody's talked about it.
I guess it just wasn't much of a story because they came to such a nice agreement and everybody's happy about it. And he's just gonna pitch every day. He's gonna start.
The notoriously, subdued New York media. I think, is why we haven't heard much about it.
Well, here's the latest.
You know, definitely nobody's overreacting or calling him a big baby.
He's starting today. And he's going to pitch out of the bullpen every day until his next scheduled start. He's going to start every fifth game and pitch out of the bullpen in between. And it's going to be great. He's going to get to 250 innings.
That seems like the smart thing to do.
No, honestly, the New York media was the ones I read, ridiculous.
It's been crazy.
Ripping Matt Harvey. And the actual news on him is that he's going to start tonight. And then we don't know if he's going to make another one the rest of the season. He might not make another one the rest of the season. You guys can fill me in.
He was going to make two more.
Two more?
Well, if the inning limit is 180, he can't make two more starts, or else that's it, right?
Yeah, or else he can't pitch in the playoffs.
So, like, that's the thing that doesn't add up for me with this, is that he said we're working on a plan to get me to pitch into the postseason. It's like, what? Like, the math just doesn't. It's either there's a 180 inning limit or there's not.
Yeah, and well,
like shutting him down for a month and then having him pitch in the rotation in the postseason's not going to work.
So, this is my only question. There's obviously some type of innings limit. They're sort of figuring it out. But after he starts tonight, is Matt Harvey droppable?
I think it sounds like it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Really? Okay. So at most, how many starts are you getting from him after tonight?
One.
Yeah, I think
there's no, like, they've said 180, 185. I don't see any way. How did they not discuss this?
That's
September 5th.
That's the story. You know, it's not.
It's crazy.
Well, apparently, reading Heyman, Sandy Alderson, the GM of the Mets, was sort of blindsided late in August, I think, when Scott Boras called him and said 180 innings is the limit.
How could that happen? That's the part of the story that's interesting to me.
Yeah.
Did you read that as well, though?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The
whole thing is, I guess that's how you get caught up in a Ponzi scheme. Like that this kind of decision making is how you is how that happens.
It's really a shame.
Just the Mets in general. There's a general Mets stink to this whole thing.
But they should limit his innings.
Absolutely.
Well, yeah. And to me, that's not even the interesting part. That's where the overreaction's just been crazy. But I feel like it's almost gotten buried in the story is how this could have blindsided Sandy Alderson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something doesn't add up here.
Yep. All right. Giancarlo Stanton may not return.
Yeah.
Now, Giancarlo Stanton might not play at all this season. Miguel Cabrera came back maybe even earlier than we anticipated. And I don't know if there's a rule or a lesson to be learned. I personally do not like trading for injured players because of the Giancarlo Stanton possibility. But they both got hurt around the same time, and we were talking about buying them on the cheap and stashing them for your playoffs. You know, anything to be taken out of those situations?
I think you have to trade from surplus when you do that. You have to make sure that your risk is minimal.
Yeah. Right,
to take advantage of the potential benefit.
Jose Fernandez will return Saturday. Adam Jones left yesterday's game with a shoulder injury. Lucas Duda should start today. Steven Strasburg should start tomorrow. AJ Burnett's going to pitch Thursday. Do you guys have any interest in picking Burnett up if he was dropped?
Not at all.
Yeah.
And Garrett Cole's going to have a start skipped, by the way. Carlos Carrasco back today at the White Sox. Kyle Schwarber should be back within a few days. Steven Vogt's been out. He got hit in the groin by a foul tip.
Ow.
Yeah. Nelson Cruz has missed 5 straight games with a strained quad. Yasmani Grandal will have an MRI on his sore shoulder. It's really been affecting his hitting. And Grandal is going to sit for a few games. Jimmy Rollins was out with a jammed finger. X-rays were negative. The White Sox probably go into a 6-man rotation for the time being with Eric Johnson in the rotation. Any interest in Eric Johnson?
Sure. Yeah. Especially if it's more than just a spot start here and there, which is initially what it looked like.
Matt Shoemaker dealing with arm soreness. No timetable for his return. Some of the leftovers from the weekend, because it's mostly going to be a Monday recap. Bartolo Colon. So Bartolo Colon eliminated Al from the podcast league.
Not his owner, but Colon himself.
Yeah. So this guy, your competitor picked up Bartolo Colon in a 2-start week. Colon dominated in his last 3 starts, 24 innings, 18 hits, no runs, 3 walks, 19 strikeouts. Wow. 75% owned. What do you think? He's been really good except for that at Colorado start recently.
Congrats to all who started him last week with the 2 great starts. I still can't get behind taking that risk.
Yeah, I think I said in it's actually Miami, Philadelphia, and Philadelphia. He had a relief appearance against Boston, so it's even less impressive than it seems on the surface.
Yeah, that's true. But four or five starts ago, it was maybe like San Diego and he pitched well. And then he had the Colorado start, which is bad.
Yeah. I said it, I think, on Friday's show that I think he's like a knuckleball pitcher where you know, what's happened in the very recent past doesn't necessarily mean anything for what's going to happen moving forward, and that's how I feel about this run.
Who's worried about Johnny Cueto?
Oh, no, I am. I mean, not, you know, I think it's a situation where he could turn it around in any given start, but you know, he's clearly got some issues with cutter movement, and, you know, if you leave him in your rotation now in crunch time, you know, maybe it's the start where he turns it around and figures things out, but if it's not, then it really hurts you.
Well, what do you think? Are you going to start him, Cueto?
I would consider sitting him. It would depend on my options.
Any?
I mean, I would guess. I mean, I don't own Cueto in any leagues. I would find it hard to imagine that there necessarily be somebody there that I would feel was a safer option. But,
well, what I did in one league, I have Carlos Martinez, not on Johnny Cueto's level at all as a pitcher, but a pretty good option. I benched him for Wade Davis in a roto league, in a head-to-head categories league, just because I felt like there was less downside. And at this point, I'm trying to avoid downside.
Yeah. No, I get that. No, I could see making a similar move.
And he's at Baltimore with his next start. That could go poorly.
Any other standouts from the weekend or from yesterday's games that you guys want to highlight?
Yeah, I want to talk about Anthony DeSclafani, who I know you wanted to talk about anyway.
Yeah, sure.
First of all, he's become my new Mr. Average, because there's always one pitcher that just typifies the averages for the big three ratios, strikeouts, ground balls and walks. And he's become that. But, it doesn't necessarily show up in the ERA, but he's really been pretty good since about mid-May. And the thing that I worried about DeSclafani going to Cincinnati was the home runs. Well, the one area where he's actually pretty much better than average is the home run rate at 0.8 per nine. And since his May 17th start, at which point he had one of the highest average fly ball distances of any qualifying pitcher. In fact, he might have had the highest, 298 feet. Since then, 266 feet.
Mm-hmm.
So, and again, it's showing up in the strikeout rate. And since the All-Star break, he's really shored up a strength of his, which is throwing strikes, a 68% strikes thrown rate. So he's having a look to me of somebody who could be a big breakout candidate next year if he can maintain the good control, keep the ball in the park. And then the other thing that he did pretty well in the minors that he's not done as well so far in the majors is getting the swings and misses. So I think there's room for a little bit more growth there for DeSclafani, but I think he could be a good under-the-radar guy next year.
DeSclafani is owned in 44% of leagues. He faces the Cardinals this weekend at home. Would you start him in that start?
In deeper leagues, I would. I'm not with him to the point where I would use him as a one-start guy in a 12-team mixed league.
Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, this is really a daily question because he's a two-star guy this week. I'm just saying daily league,
right.
Saturday or Sunday, he faces the Cardinals.
Yeah. I would trust him in that start.
All right. Other standouts?
Eduardo Rodriguez, yet another good start. I'm not sure if this one was in the daytime.
It was daytime.
Okay. That's usually when he's been bad, right?
Right.
He's been bad during the day. So flipping all the scripts, it was against the Phillies. But two earned runs or less in four straight, five of his last six. He had one really bad game against the Marlins. But other than that, he's been really good lately, and there are lots of reasons to be encouraged about him, especially moving forward to next season.
I think you could take Eduardo Rodriguez, replace him with, I don't know, four or five Red Sox right now, and say the same thing. I mean, Jackie Bradley Jr. is still 66% owned, so he's available in over 30% of leagues. He went 4-4
yesterday. I wrote about
him
last week, and I have so much trouble buying this.
But
he's
been the MVP since
like
the All-Star break.
Useful. What's that?
He's been the MVP since the All-Star break, so you don't have to buy that.
Yeah. But that's the question is what will be his, cause now we've got, you know, 400 at bats of just horrible production, sub 600 OPS, and then what, 150 of 1,000 plus?
Right.
And well, so I don't even know where you, I don't even know what the middle ground of that is, cause they're such extremes.
I think the middle ground is what we thought he would be, which was a good on base guy.
Yeah.
With just okay power.
But the power's been remained unbelievable. He has like a 300 ISO on the season.
I'm inclined to take the over on what we expected. So no, I don't buy, you know, MVP type numbers from Jackie Bradley, but you know, unless he goes ice cold the rest of the way, I would expect going into next year that I'd be drafting him as more than just a non-base guy, but with some expectations of better than average power.
I feel like you have to start him right now, though.
Oh, absolutely. There's no question.
Yeah. It's even a three outfielder league.
How about Sean Doolittle getting a save yesterday, pitching in back-to-back games for the first time this season? 24% owned. He's getting a little bit better, it seems. He's pitched in three of the last four games. I don't know. Is he the A's closer? Do you expect him to get the next save chance? Unless it comes today, they're not going to throw him 3 days in a row, I'd imagine.
Yeah, no, I expect him to get the bulk of the save chances going forward.
Okay, there's an option for you.
Dude, the one thing I do want to see is going to be the velocity, and that's climbing up. You know, he was 92.3 the first outing, and then he's risen each one to 94 in his last outing, so... That's a really good sign because, you know, coming back from a torn labrum, that was going to be the big issue. It's not quite as high as it was at his peak, but, you know, that's to be expected.
So we talked about in the right situation, you could sit Johnny Cueto. What about Max Scherzer? He's giving up a lot of home runs lately, and in his last six starts before yesterday for Scherzer, 582 ERA.
Yeah, remember when he was having like a historic season?
Mm-hmm.
The home runs are he's a fly ball pitcher. So the home runs are going to get him at some point. I feel better about him than Cueto right now though.
All right.
No, I do too.
Is he an automatic start, Max Scherzer?
He is.
Okay.
The strikeouts are still strong. The strikeouts are still really strong. Yeah, it kind of seems like just some bad cluster luck, just a lot of hits at the wrong time and some home runs. What?
Cluster luck. Very good.
What? That's a thing? That's a thing that people say. I did not make that up.
That is not really.
I like it as a thing that people say.
It's a thing.
I like it as a fantasy team name for next year. Here's a look at the most added list. I'm sure there'll be a lot of two-star pitchers on here for this current week.
You need to stall for time a little bit?
No, I got it. But go ahead. Go ahead, Al.
Chris Davis with a K.
Yeah.
So remember back in 2013, he got called up and went crazy, hit 11 home runs in 136 at bats. And then going into the next year, we were all, I think everybody was saying, oh, he can't replicate that. He can't do that. You remember that?
Yeah, I remember.
Well, since the All-Star break, he's had 148 at bats and he's hit 12 home runs. So he's on fairly similar
he's
pace.
He cooled off quite a bit, though. I think he homered yesterday, right?
He did.
Wasn't he cold before that? I think I saw him wearing a sweatshirt, so.
I mean, I will say it's worth pointing out just over 1,000 or so career plate appearances. He has 51 home runs. That's a one home run every 20 plate appearances. That's a very good rate, even if we take into the account last season being not so great and then the two crazy hot stretches.
Yeah. Okay. I just haven't motivated myself to pick him up because I feel like that's all he does.
Well, it is all he does.
Yeah.
But it's worth something.
Well, thank you for stalling, Al, on Chris Davis there with a K. Josh Tomlin is the most added player. He's now 52% owned.
Jeez.
Drew Smyly is number two. And yeah, that's, I didn't trust Drew Smyly. And he really was bad yesterday.
I want to say I expressed some... I'm going to give myself credit for that, too. I don't remember, but I feel like I expressed some skepticism about him. And I'm just going to go ahead and give myself credit for it.
I thought you were going to say you put like a banana peel on the mound or something.
That's what I did.
Josh Tomlin, though, number one. What do you guys think about that man?
That he's really radically overowned right now. Because, well, I mean, he's got the same risks as Drew Smyly. Both good control pitchers, but... You know, a lot of home runs potentially, but without the strikeout upside.
How about Josh? Corey Seager, number three?
Yeah.
So, and I mentioned that Rollins injury. I mean, just more reason for Seager to stay in the lineup, and he's hitting very well. Pretty good.
Yeah.
66% own.
Yeah, I don't think that's high. You no. ride him while he's hot. The potential's obviously there. The only question we had was playing time.
Rick Porcello, another Red Sox. Yeah, that is how you say it, right? You don't say Red Sox.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like it, but that is what is done.
Another Red Sox, Rick Porcello. You know, not great numbers yesterday, but or whenever it was, 2 days ago, I think. Was it yesterday?
I think it was yesterday.
Okay, not great numbers, but it was against Toronto, and he's a two-star pitcher. But is he under-owned, over-owned, porridge just right, 47%?
Pretty much just right with the, what do we call it, the ceiling. What was the name of that? I think Scott came up with it last week. Whatever. The lower ownership rate ceiling with some people not playing anymore. I think it's reasonable.
Yeah,
right. I think if everybody were playing with the two-start week, Porcello should have been at least 60%.
I just don't think he's any good, and I don't trust the recent run. I know it's been a lot of strikeouts, especially for him. I just can't trust it.
I don't completely trust it either. And, you know, the start granted against the Blue Jays, but it definitely, you know, gives you a little reason for skepticism. But when you looked at what the two start options were last week, you know, that's what I'm saying. I mean, it's not, he wasn't a must add, but, you know, you needed that extra start. He was one of the better options. And actually, I thought that one of the best options of the widely available guys was Drew Smyly.
Yeah.
So they all had risk, including Porcello. He could have been a little bit more owned, I suppose.
Marcus Stroman did not have a great rehab start in his most recent outing, but he's 40% owned. I just feel like we don't even know what we're going to get from him.
We don't know are we sure what role he's going to
have? Right, exactly. No, I think he'll probably start.
Yeah, I think he'll probably start.
You going to trust him, though, in this late in the season? 40% owned really surprised me.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me. I just wasn't part of it. And maybe I'll have some FOMO, you know, if he's good. But, yeah, you mentioned all the risks with Stroman. And it's sort of like I picked up Matt Moore, but I wanted to wait and see how he did before I actually put him in my rotation, and not that impressive the first time out. So it's Stroman's really in the same situation, and I just, wasn't motivated to make roster space for him.
And we got Didi Gregorius up 13% to 32% on.
He's been really good for a while, actually. He's been, I believe, a top 10 shortstop since the All-Star break in at least Roto leagues, from what I was looking up the other day.
Oh, that's interesting. I would bet that's largely batting average.
Yes. Batting average, and I think he's getting on base at a decent clip. But other than that, he's scoring some runs, but not doing much else.
You know, since I dropped FOMO before, I thought of another acronym. TOFU.
Let's see.
Totally. Terrified of effing up.
It had to be the FU part of that had to be that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I doubt that's going to catch on.
No, if we're allowed to make it catch on, I'll say tofu a lot.
Okay.
Because I like it. Other guys on the most added list, Brandon Moss, Jason Wirth, Blake Swihart.
Why? I guess Justin Nicolino was a two-star pitcher this week.
He was.
But
yeah, I skipped that
20%
one.
20% is 19% too high.
I skipped that one. That's
says the Marlins fan.
That's getting a little bit too crazy with the two-star pitchers.
Yeah.
I also do want to point out that Josh Tomlin has half as many wins as Corey Kluber on the season.
Anybody else on the most added list you guys want to talk about?
No.
All right, then. Are these guys worth an ad? Michael Conforto, 42% owned.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Has a higher OPS than Kyle Schwarber.
Whoa.
Did you know that?
No. And he homered off Scherzer yesterday. Mark Canna, 26% owned.
Eh. No.
Aaron Hicks, 24% owned.
I think that's fine. I just dropped him, actually. Came off the DL and I didn't have room for him.
Greg Bird, 23% owned. 263 with 5 home runs in 22 games. 17 ribbies, wow.
Yeah, again, it's fine. At first base, I think the production, the potential don't really distinguish him.
Yeah.
CJ Cron, 17%, speaking of which.
Well, it sounds like maybe he should be more on than Greg Bird from what you were saying.
Well, in Roto League, so if you look at Krohn, those 53 games, 316, 349, 548, slash line, 9 home runs, 32 RBI, he's 13th at first base in points leagues. In Roto, excuse me. In points, he's 20th, and it's mostly at bats, but because, you know, he just wasn't playing every day. But now it seems like Krohn is playing every day. So maybe even in deeper points leagues, I don't know. But Krohn, based on what he's done and the fact that he's playing every day now or close to it, it's probably a little under-owned, I would say.
And I believe part of him playing more often lately has to do with Albert Pujols' foot bothering him again, right?
I don't think so.
Yeah, no, I think it was it predates that.
Okay.
Krohn or Bird?
His foot is bothering him again.
Yeah, it is. Krohn or Bird?
Krohn.
Yeah, I'll go Krohn.
Domingo Santana, 12% own.
That sounds about right.
J.P. Arencibia, 5% own.
Ugh. Too high.
And now a pitcher, Zach Davies of the Brewers, 3% owned.
Maybe a little higher. I mean, he is pretty much NL only and very deep mixed. I did pick him up in a couple of very deep leagues.
Champion of the deep leagues on Melchior.
Yes. So yeah, he was my deep league target this weekend, and I already owned him in a couple dynasty leagues.
Interestingly, his first start was kind of a disaster, 4 runs in 4 1/3 innings. He had 14 swinging strikes in that one. Second start went way better and only 6 swinging strikes.
Yeah, that was weird. And against the Marlins, too. And then the other thing that was sort of varied from the first to the second start, against the Marlins, 15 ground balls. I don't know what the count was in the first start, but it was...
It was like 6.
Yeah. So that would probably be his strength. But it's hard to trust that because the Marlins, by a big margin, are the biggest ground ball hitting lineup in the majors. So you could maybe take this start with a little bit of a grain.
So what you're saying is the Marlins were an easier matchup than the Pirates.
Crazy. I know.
I can go on that limit.
Okay. All right, we got about 15 minutes left. So with that said, let's fly through the rest of this and do some DFS and some emails. 3-up, Evan Longoria. Do you now consider him a must-start with this hot stretch?
Nah, still not. Although I was surprised at how great his splits are against lefties.
Yes.
So he's become a little bit more relevant to me based on the matchups.
How about Fowler, Dexter Fowler? Obviously he's a must-start, but holy goodness, is he having a nice year. 19th yep. best outfielder in points. Fowler's 24th in Roto. Since the All-Star break before he homered yesterday, he was batting .291 with 8 home runs, 36 walks, and 47 strikeouts. Fowler has scored the 5th most runs at the outfield position.
He's always gotten on base. That's the one thing. He can draw a walk, and he's got sneaky power. And he plays in a good lineup and park now. I think he's a must-start player.
Let's see. How about Addison Russell, 59% owned? Are you guys excited about what you've seen from him?
Very, very excited. He's really turned it on, and now really, I think, performing above the level that I expected from him, which was... You know, I had some pretty high hopes for him, but the power's been impressive.
I'm still not starting him, but I have Rougned Odor and Ian Desmond in the same league where I have him, so not really an indictment on him.
That's Addison Russell. I'm going to name some names. You tell me if you saw them on your waiver wire, would you be eager to pick up Trevor Bauer?
No.
Patrick Corbin?
Yes.
Yeah.
Dan Heron?
No.
Mm-mm.
Drew Smiley?
Yeah, I still would.
Rick Porcello?
Not eager.
No.
Anthony DeSclafani.
Nah, not
same as Porcello for me.
Tommy Malone.
Nah, he's pitch and ditch guy for me, and did well in start number one of the 2-start week this week. But I would not only not pick him up for next week, I'd ditch him now if I had him.
All right, injuries, news, and notes. Nathan Eovaldi being shut down for 2 weeks because of elbow inflammation. Very frustrating. CeCe Sabathia expected back tomorrow for the Yankees. Nolan Arenado bruised his chest, but he should be fine. He thinks he can play today. Joe Panik returned. He pinch hit for the Giants. Looks like maybe they go with Kelby Tomlinson against lefties. Tomlinson has great numbers against lefties. 317 batting average, .543 slugging going into yesterday's game, and Panic is left-handed. Billy Hamilton should be back today. Colton Wong did not start. He pinch hit, though. He has calf tightness. Got all New York on you here. John Gibbons has some concerns about Mark Burley, who's been dealing with fatigue and was really bad yesterday at the Red Sox.
That every time I see this, it just strikes me as odd because he's such a workhorse. You figure he never gets tired. But he's human.
After 20 years, that was an exaggeration, but it's probably not that far off.
Yeah.
Delino DeShields day-to-day with a left knee sprain, and Franklin Gutierrez was out with a strained groin. Reading some emails here at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Here's one from Josh in Indianapolis, Indiana. 10-team Roto Keeper League can only keep up for a max of 2 more years for all of these keepers. So pick 2 batters in a keeper league. Schwarber, Sano, Odor.
Yay.
Schwarber, I believe, has 19 starts at catcher, so that makes him an obvious pick, and Sano.
Yeah, I think Sano's the only one that's obvious. I mean, all three are obvious in a vacuum.
But Schwarber getting catcher eligibility would... He needs one more game.
Which I'm sure he'll get.
Yeah.
I'll go Schwarber, but you can't really lose however you go there.
Carlos Gomez, Joey Votto, Tulowitzki, Adrian Gonzalez, Ian Desmond, Ryan Braun, pick 2.
Cargo. Votto and Braun.
I was going to say Votto and Tulo.
Oh, Votto. Votto for sure, and Tulo for Al, and Braun for Chris.
Tulo, I'm concerned about him not hitting outside of Coors Field. I have to admit, it's a small sample size, but he's been really bad.
And yeah, it's interesting. He's in Rogers Center, so shouldn't be that
yeah,
bad.
It's not a bad, and yeah. The power's been fine, but the average is way down.
It's been a weird year for him, no doubt.
Yes. And there were signs of slipping skill early in the season as well. His plate discipline has fallen off across the entirety of the season. I think I go Braun, but it's tough.
Pitchers. Cueto, Strasburg, Hamels, Lynn, pick 1. Cueto, Strasburg, Hamels, Lynn.
It's between Cueto and Strasburg. I'll go Strasburg.
That's where I was going to.
Next email is from Spencer in Toronto. Dear 643, I've run a 12-team head-to-head categories league for 4 years now. I'm always looking to stay current. Last year we added OBP instead of batting average and quality starts instead of wins. For next year, I'm thinking about swapping out strikeouts and adding in strikeouts per 9. What are your opinions on the best 5x5 categories for a head-to-head league?
I'm not really a big fan of the K per 9.
It's
looking at the innings as well as the rate.
I hate it.
You hate it, yeah.
It's
the only way I would like it is if it was a daily lineup league. Cuz I hate having counting stats.
Oh my god, then you're streaming middle relievers.
Yeah, see,
who the heck wants to do that?
Leagues. That's why I hate daily lineup leagues.
If you set a roster limit, like in my daily lineup leagues, you can only make 1 move per day, like on average, you can make 7 per week. And it works out well. Very few people are streaming, so much because you're going to end up dropping guys that you don't want to drop. It's not worth it. But there is an element to it. There is some streaming. But oh God, no, K per 9 is. I would, if you said to me, hey, Adam, free entry into this league, and first place wins $10 million.
No, that's, you're being ridiculous.
And it's K per 9.
Now you're being ridiculous.
It's K per 9. I'd be like, I'm good, thanks.
Keep your $10 million.
Yeah. And the loser gets $5 million. I'd be like, that's okay. I don't feel like doing it. Anyway, what are your five by five best categories?
I like what he has here. The only way, I do prefer OBP to average. And I'm okay with quality starts, but basically, I mean, I think it's a little better than wins, but basically you're just, you know, rewarding people for saying, you know, build the staff of pitchers that just, you know, don't suck a lot.
Yeah, Jonathan Neese, everybody.
Yeah, I guess it depends on what you want to value. There's more strategy in wins, but quality start is obviously more indicative of a pitcher's abilities than wins.
All right, one more email here. Let's see, I'll pick one. Ian from San Diego. Are there any guys low on the percentage ownership that might be worth a last round keeper snag?
How low? You know,
well, we
Jerko
just
with,
yeah, Jerko is
Jerko with what we're seeing is Conforto at 42%.
That seems
too
a little
high.
Too high. Yeah, that seems too high. Any like kind of, I don't know. You know, 20% own, something like that.
I mean, nobody's really coming to mind. I'm sure there are.
Yeah, that it's hard to come up with them off the top of your head, but maybe, you know, maybe Derek Dietrich, guys that we've talked about a little bit, or maybe what about even guys that are that might be getting dropped because of injuries?
Are there any closers, any relief pitchers that might be closers next year?
Capps?
Yeah.
The one that jumps to mind. I think AJ Ramos is arbitration eligible for the first time. The Marlins have a tendency to not want to pay players.
Capps is better anyway. As long as he's cheating, he's better.
That's
and healthy.
Healthy
a
and
cheating. Huge question mark.
All right, good good stuff there. Al, yeah, sorry, your name?
Yep.
Oh, okay. Okay. Is there anything you want to say? You want to say hi to somebody in the audience or
Hello. I'm just trying to think of a random city. And
everybody named James that's listening. Hello.
Hello. What's up, Jimmy?
Shouts to the Jameses out there.
Hello, Muncie, Indiana.
I'm not the kind of guy who's going to sit here and say, you need to start Clayton Kershaw tonight. Just not me. I'm not going to do it.
I'm doing it, and I like it.
Okay, good. Because I actually, this is a great night for pitching.
Yeah.
There are so many good pitchers. That's why I thought it was hard to do a Kershaw lineup because there weren't that many hitters that I liked. And the ones I did like were expensive. So I went with Taylor Youngman at the Marlins.
The weird thing about Kershaw is I'm pretty sure his price dropped $900 since his last outing. And he's coming off consecutive 25-point FanDuel performances.
Wow. All right, well,
so, Al, I'm not sure what the justification is there.
Al, you thought you had a great FanDuel lineup, so would you like to share it with us?
Yeah, I like it. I do think in a cash game that you have to go Kershaw because there's good pitchers, but he's clearly the best. I've got Russell Martin. Actually, Russell's.
Me too. Russell,
what's that?
Me too.
Yeah, no, the Blue Jays against Henry Owens, and I'm sorry, I'm just kind of collecting to see how many. Okay, I've got three in this lineup.
Yeah.
So I've got Martin at 2,600, and then Justin Smoke. Now he may not be in the lineup, but he's 2,400 with really good splits against lefties.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah, and then this one's a little bit risky, but again, I had to find some cheap players. Ben Revere is, at least since coming to Toronto, not been bad against lefties, even though that's, you know, reverse split for him.
Henry Owens is bad against lefties, by the way, so that could inspire you a little bit.
Yeah, that's the thing is, you know, I don't really worry about handedness with Revere, and I just think Owens is a good matchup for him.
Cool, all right. Well, that's interesting. Who else you got?
So I've got Cesar Hernandez at second against Weber, whose first name I can't even remember for the Braves.
Andrew Lloyd.
Ryan. Oh, I'm sorry, Andrew Lloyd Weber.
Yeah.
Pitching for the Braves, who I think Weber is going to get grilled by the Phillies.
Okay.
And so I've got Hernandez there. The thing is, there weren't good bargains in the Phillies lineup, so Hernandez is actually my only Philly. And then I talked about Longoria splits against lefties. He's facing Matt Boyd, who's been pretty bad. So I think at 3,000, Longoria is worth plugging in. Brandon Guyer, insane splits against lefties. He's only 2,400. And then the rest of my lineup, I've got Brandon Crawford, 2,500 against Chase Anderson, and Christian Yelich, who's just been getting on base at a silly pace for a few weeks now, 3,100 against Taylor
Youngman. All right. That's actually a very compelling case. I might have to switch to your lineup, but I will rather have Ender and Ciarte at the same price instead of Christian Yelich.
It came down to those two.
Yeah, I might do that. I went with Taylor Youngman And then I also have Cesar Hernandez and Russell Martin. I have Todd Frazier at 2,300. Could today maybe be the day? Please, Todd Frazier. But JD Martinez, Mookie Betts, Paul Goldschmidt, Troy Tulowitzki, because Tulowitzki is facing a lefty, and he's still very good against those. But I think I like Al's better, because he's got Kershaw. Okay. By the way,
if you're going non-Kershaw and you're trying to save money, I think Raisel Iglesias makes absolutely more sense than Taylor Youngman. Three straight 10 strikeout games.
I know. Just he's facing the Pirates.
The Pirates are better than the Marlins.
Yeah.
But I don't think Youngman has that strikeout potential.
No, but he has the wins potential. That's four strikeouts right there, that win. I don't know. Like, he could get six and Iglesias could get 10. And then the win makes that the same. Who's going to give up less runs? I go Youngman. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Know what I'm saying?
Raisel Iglesias does have like 20 more strikeouts over his last three starts than Youngman does, though.
A lot of good pitchers out there. Basically, my lineup's terrible. I'm gonna fix it. Al, you've inspired me. Thank you guys very much. We're going to have to
Al, you're an inspiration to us all.
Ah, thanks.
Melchior Cabrera.
I don't have tofu with this lineup.
FanDuel, if you haven't played it, now the FanDuel.com/CBSPod, that's gone away. That is now a football contest. So if you want to get in on that, feel free. But if you haven't played FanDuel, you should really sign up. You can still use that awesome offer code. It's CBSPod. If you sign up on FanDuel, they'll match your first deposit dollar for dollar up to $200, and it gets earned as you play. CBSPod is the offer code. FanDuel is the leader in one-week fantasy baseball. They pay out more money than any other daily fantasy site. It's real money. It's really cheap to start. You can play for $1 or more, $5, $2, whatever, $25 if you want to up the ante. They have expensive tournaments, and they have very cheap ones as well. You can play high-risk tournaments. You can play low-risk 50-50s. It's really awesome. I know you're going to enjoy it. So FanDuel.com and use that offer code CBSPOD. For Chris Towers and Al Melchior, I'm Adam Azer. I'm out of breath. Goodbye, friends.